Welcome to a podcast of Beyond the Book, a presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center. Copyright Clearance Center is the world's largest provider of copyright compliance solutions through a wide range of innovative licensing services and comprehensive educational programs for authors, publishers, and their audiences in academia, business, and research institutions. For more information about Beyond the Book and Copyright Clearance Center, please go to www.beyondthebook.com.
Welcome again to Beyond the Book. I'm your host, Christopher Keneally, the Director of Author Relations with the nonprofit Copyright Clearance Center, and very delighted to have today some people from the government. They are, in fact, here to help us, and indeed, we're going to hear exactly how they are going to be helping publishers in the near future and over time. It's a service that we will be looking at that will be helping publishers go global. And joining us today are Don Bruno, who is the Global Publishing Team Leader and Senior International Trade Specialist with the U.S. Commercial Service of the U.S. Department of Commerce. Welcome, Don.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
And also on the line, we have Keith Yatsuhashi, who is the director at the U.S. Department of Commerce Export Assistance Center in Providence, Rhode Island. Keith, welcome.
Thank you, Chris. I'd like to echo Don's thanks for this great opportunity to talk to publishers.
Well, we're very happy to have you here, and I think it's an important thing to be doing because, as you know, we provide some informational services to a variety of people in what's now called the content creation industry. I think it's got to be clear to everyone that it's an industry that goes far beyond our own borders, and I can say we're quite proud of the fact that Beyond the Book even has subscribers from outside the United States. And so clearly the Internet, but not just the Internet, have brought the world to us. And what work you do is to try to take publishers to the world. And why don't we start with Keith? And Keith, give us an idea, because I think we can fairly correctly assume that a lot of people aren't really clear on the kind of work that you're up to there at the Department of Commerce. To tell us about that.
Okay, thanks, Chris. The Department of Commerce is a huge organization within the federal government. We have a little small piece of the pie. We're known as the International Trade Administration. And under that umbrella, there are offices such as mine here in Rhode Island and Don's in New York that work for a group called the U.S. Commercial Service. Now, the way that we operate and the way that we have our mandates structured, we are on the ground talking with businesses in our respective states or territories. So, for example, in my case, I deal with manufacturers and service companies here in Rhode Island and as part of this publishing team, also with publishers. Really what we're trying to do is to get these smaller to medium-sized companies overseas. We want to help them. We want to open doors for them. And we do that by interfacing with U.S. embassy personnel, specifically commercial service people located in embassies and consulates throughout the world. We have a global reach. We offer services, we open doors, we do matchmaking, anything involved in the export process to help a company realize its sales overseas, that's really what we're here for.
And it would seem to me that particularly for the smaller independent business owner, someone who doesn't have a foreign sales force or lawyers to help them out with all of this, this is tremendous access to a range of services and information that, frankly, taxpayers' dollars at work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We try to focus on every single company's needs. Larger companies have different challenges than smaller companies, but the bulk of what we do is with the smaller companies. Our people on the ground have access where small companies don't have access. They have reach that they don't. They can open doors that they can't. Anything from issues of payment to finding the right partner to dealing with international copyright issues, they're all things that we can help companies with. Now, it's important to note that some of what we do has a user fee, a cost recovery fee involved, but it's nominal. It's absolutely nothing compared to what you would see if you or a small company was to do this on its own.
Well, it certainly sounds like good value, and I think this is a good moment to bring Dawn in and to have her tell us about the global publishing team itself. And in particular, you know, when we think about international trade, I suppose pictures of automobiles on, enormous cargo ships and all sorts of manufactured goods come to mind. But increasingly, the global influence of the United States comes from its intellectual property. And so I'm guessing that's what underlies the decision, the recent decision, to create this publishing team, Dawn.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chris. And you've really hit the nail right on the head. The Department of Commerce works with industries of all stripes. And what we found is that because we are aligned by industry sector and we have a lot of expertise and a lot of knowledge around a lot of sectors, our ear is to the ground and we follow what the trends of the U.S. economy are. And in the case of publishing, this is an area where the Commerce Department wasn't as heavily involved before. And about 2 to 3 years ago, we started noticing that more companies were coming to us, more service companies and more publishing companies. And we felt that we really needed to pool our resources and to create this global publishing team, which is now 25 members strong. We have international trade specialists who work with publishers throughout the world. And we chose to really just build this focus on publishing. And it certainly is driven, of course, by the changes in the U.S. economy more towards services and content. And to that end, we've really had a great opportunity over the last few years to get to know the publishing industry a lot more intimately and to be involved in a lot more of the trade events and to work hand-in-hand with publishers so that we've learned what publishers are looking for and what they need and the challenges that they're facing, because this industry is facing some very unique challenges when it comes to going global.
Let me ask you about that. First of all, candidly, without naming names or anything like that at all, but how would you assess the preparedness of the publishers you speak to with regard to trying to sell their wares abroad? Are they babes in the woods? Have they had some experience and they just want to go further? What's the state of the industry as far as international trade right now?
Well, you know, it is interesting. I think that there are definite fluctuations depending on the type of publisher you're working with. I think some publishing companies have maybe even dragged a little bit kicking and screaming into the international arena because they realize that this is where they needed to go. This is where the industry is going because publishing sales have been so flat in the U.S. for so long. But what we're finding on more of a positive note is a lot of publishers are realizing that they can use sales for international rights to supplement the sales that they have in the U.S. And so they're moving in this direction, not just because that's where the market is dictating, but also because they're seeing that there are real opportunities to supplement their returns by looking into the international market. And in a lot of cases, especially if a publisher is choosing to sell content and rights, they already have the product, and they're not dealing necessarily, if they're not dealing with books, they're not dealing with the shipping costs. And so in this sense, selling rights for certain publishers has become kind of like found money for them.
Right, that's what I was just going to say. I mean, to not do this would be to be leaving money on the table.
Exactly.
And the enthusiasm for what Americans create, whether it's Hollywood or television or, for that matter, the publishing world, is there. Anyone who's traveled recognizes that. If you pass by a bookstore or a movie theater, it's American product that really gets out there. And I think, too, it's important to recognize that it's getting out there whether the publishers like it or not, right? I mean, without going too far into it, piracy and copyright infringement in certain parts of the world are fairly common.
Certainly, and that's probably the number one issue that publishers face in selling overseas. It is protecting their intellectual property rights, and that's why we encourage publishers to work with the Department of Commerce, because we have resources in place to help publishers protect their IPR as they're going overseas.
If I might, Chris and Dawn, I'd like to add to the point, especially when it comes to the industry and the state of the industry, technology has really changed things for the publishing industry in a way that it hasn't changed things for the manufacturing sector and even other service industries, where the internet can open up a whole world to a manufacturer for a particular sale within the publishing industry. Since it's an intellectual property, they're not as likely to fall into international as someone who has a product on the floor that is seen on a website in Taiwan or in Japan, and then the order is placed. It's very different. And then at the other end of the spectrum, on the retail side, someone from one of those countries can find an Amazon site or an online bookseller and buy a book from an online bookseller, and the publisher is a little bit out of the loop, or more out of the loop than a manufacturer who has direct sales.
It's a good point. So on the one hand, the internet give us, and the internet take us away, and that's certainly something that publishing has been struggling with. Let's talk a bit about some of the services that you have both alluded to. So if I'm a publisher and I think that my books on medical research or business strategies or whatever it may be, or even just on nature, photography, whatever it is, if I want to see those books in new marketplaces in Europe or Africa or Australia, wherever, you can help me with things like market research and tell me what to expect in those various regions. Is that right?
We certainly can, and this is where having people on the ground in these countries working with publishers there is the real asset that we bring to the table. The first thing that we start off with is our market research. We have a lot of market research that's available to publishers free of charge. Actually, all of our market research is free of charge, and we have a what we call a 2008 Publishing Market Research Guide that we just published in May. In that, we have 30 different market research reports from 30 different countries about the publishing industry in those markets and the opportunities for U.S. publishers there. That's just a first starting point.
I think I've seen that, and that's a terrific publication. And what we should just say to anyone listening that at the end of the program and on our website at www.beyondthebook.com, we'll direct people to a variety of places where they can obtain all the various materials that we're talking about. So, people shouldn't have to worry about trying to find all that. We'll direct them straight to it. But that is a great resource. What are some other things that you've got done?
Well, thank you. I think it is a great resource. And what we often do with publishers is we help them assess where the markets might be for their books, where it might make sense. We sit down with the market research that we already have available, and then we tap into our network of specialists and team members. We have commercial specialists in almost every embassy and consulate around the world, and we have at least 25 that work with publishing to a great extent. And those that aren't on our team still have familiarity with the publishing industry in those markets. And we'll often set up conference calls with our specialists overseas and the publisher to be able to begin to start assessing the market opportunities in that specific country.
Can you tell us what are some of the, if I can use the term, hot countries or hot regions right now?
It's interesting because it varies so much. I mean, there is definitely, for English-speaking language, there are markets that you would think are definitely the ones that come to mind. Canada, the UK, Australia, South Africa, just to name a few for English-speaking markets. But, of course, we're not just limited to English-speaking markets. Publishers sell translation rights and foreign rights all the time. There's certainly an appetite throughout Asia, throughout China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Singapore and other countries for American content. But what I've really seen is that it depends on the specific book and the topic. And there are some hot markets, but if the content is good in the U.S., then chances are there's a market for it overseas as well.
And I think it's interesting to note, we hear in this country that, for example, the newspaper business is having some hard times today because of the Internet. But, abroad, say in India, for example, the newspaper business is thriving because, relatively speaking, few people have that kind of daily immediate access to the Internet. So if they're going to get information, they're still relying on the daily newspaper. And I think that that's a good indication of what book publishers might also expect, that books will still be, for many people in the world, the printed word, perhaps I should put it that way, the printed word will still be the dominant form that most people will be getting their information for some time to come.
That's very true. And we've certainly seen trends in the ebook market and in all sorts of different technology, but I would be hesitant to say that books were going away anytime soon. There's still that appetite around the world for the printed word, and we're seeing that every day. We're often responding through our embassies, through our contacts in the embassies, to requests that international publishers have to purchase the rights for U.S. American published books. We respond to these sorts of inquiries on an almost daily basis. So there is that appetite there, and we see it regularly.
Right. And so to speak to one particular region, I know you had some interesting information for us about India.
Yes, I'm happy that you brought that up. We do have a publishing specialist in India, and later this month, on September 25th, we're going to be holding an India publishing webinar where we are going to have experts from the Indian publishing industry, as well as our own commercial specialist and team member in India, speaking to the reality of doing business in India and what publishers need to be aware of. I think it's going to be a very worthwhile and informational session, and I encourage anyone who's interested to get in touch with me after they listen to the podcast so I can give them more information. But that webinar will be on September 25th.
Is there a quick and easy URL for that? We will put it on our site, but if there's anything you want to just mention right now.
Well, our publishing website is www.buyusa.gov/publishing.
Okay, and that's, of course, B-U-Y.
Yes, B-U-Y. And on that website, under events, they can find a link to the India Publishing webinar.
Perfect. That sounds like something well worth doing. And do you archive those programs so they can go back to them if they can't be there that day?
Yes, actually, in this case, we will. We will have this recorded.
I'm sure people will be very interested in that. And we'll be talking about it more in the second installment of this program, which we will be releasing on Monday, October 6th, in advance of the Frankfurt Book Fair, which, of course, is the world's largest publishing event and frankly, focuses almost exclusively on rights and licensing. So we'll have a chance to go further into what you are doing for Frankfurt. But just tell us briefly, what kind of a presence you're going to have and what your goals are for that fair.
Of course. As you know and as you alluded to, the Frankfurt Book Fair is the event for publishers around the world. And as such, it is our biggest event that we hold during the year for our publishing team. At the Frankfurt Book Fair, we will have commercial specialists from various markets around the world at the fair available to meet with U.S. publishers and talk with them about their markets. We also have teamed up with the Association of Educational Publishers to provide an educational publishers pavilion where our staff on the ground is actually setting up matchmaking appointments for these exhibitors in this pavilion with international publishers who are interested in meeting with them. And that's something that we don't do just at the Frankfurt Book Fair. It's something that we do on a regular basis, is matching U.S. companies, U.S. publishers, to their counterparts overseas and helping to promote them to various international publishers to help increase their visibility. With the Frankfurt Book Fair, this is an obvious place to do this because of just the international flavor and just the amount of publishers that are there from around the world.
Right. And is the educational partnership indicative of the popularity of those kinds of materials internationally?
It certainly is. And actually, in the case of the Association of Educational Publishers, their desire to work with us also came from the swell of support from companies that they were working with, from publishers that are their members, who were saying that they needed some help in going overseas. So we found a very, very natural fit with that association in this regard for the Frankfurt Book Fair. But we also have similar relationships with other publishing associations, because the challenges that publishers are facing, while unique in this industry, tend to repeat themselves. And so various associations have found a lot of benefit in working with our team and helping their members to go global.
Right. Well, let's make it real for people. You give presentations frequently, and in them you talk about some case studies, and well, let's see if we can get to one or two in the time we have. Now, there was a case study about a well-known reference publisher looking to launch a new product line in Japan, and what was the kind of work you did with them?
Well, in this case, this publisher came to us and they said, you know, we have a very big name recognition and brand in the United States, and we are already represented in a lot of different markets. They were launching a specific line that they thought would do really well in Japan. They didn't have the contacts in Japan. They needed our help in getting the word out. And although they had a distributor, that distributor wasn't as well connected as they would have liked. And in this case, we teamed up with their in-country distributor, and we put on an event. We call it our single company promotion, where this company was able to promote their product line to an audience that was very specific to their needs. And they worked with our publishing specialist in the embassy, who helped to get the word out and helped to invite the right people at the event. The event was held at the U.S. Embassy in Tokyo, and it did have considerable press coverage. And in the end, the company was able to reach their goal, which was to announce the launch of this product line and to get more customers for this product line.
And it would seem to me, I haven't been there, I'd love to go to Tokyo, but I would imagine the U.S. Embassy offices, it's a pretty prestigious location and kind of lends, I mean, not that there's an endorsement necessarily implied, but it certainly lends a kind of seriousness, and it elevates the event if you can get that kind of support from the U.S. government on the ground.
It certainly does, and there is a cachet with working with these embassies and holding events either at the embassy facilities or at the ambassador's residence, which we do fairly often as well. And there certainly is that cachet associated with it, and we are able to maximize that and maximize the fact that we're in the country and we have the contacts and we can bring a lot to the table for these U.S. publishers that wouldn't have access to these resources or these contacts otherwise.
Right, and I would imagine, too, that one of the things you could do besides lending that cachet is also helping people careful in their choices of who to work with, because if you don't know the folks on the ground, you don't know if somebody's the right partner or the very wrong partner. And I know that there have been some stories you tell about working in Hungary, for example, or even in the Scandinavian markets to determine just who's the right person to be working with.
Yeah, that's a great point, because as many publishers who are listening to this already know, international inquiries can come from anywhere, and you can get to your office on a Monday and see your whole inbox is filled with inquiries from overseas, and you don't know who these companies are, and you don't know what their standing is in the industry, or what they can bring to the table. And part of the resources that the Commerce Department offers is being able to provide information on these companies, what their standing is, who they are, and how legitimate they are. And our main goal is to help U.S. companies proceed with caution and with success. And this service really helps companies make sure that they don't run into some pitfalls with the wrong type of partner.
Right. I like that idea, caution and success. It's not to... To raise this point is not to try to frighten anyone, but is to just sort of make them aware that, you know, not everyone is what they seem to be, and certainly that is true on the Internet. And I can imagine, too, having people in country means that some of the cultural differences, some of the things that literally get lost in translation, you help that work more smoothly.
That's exactly it. We want companies to go into a market with their eyes wide open, and we can help them do that. And, of course, the cultural differences, you can't downplay the importance of a role that they play in business. And so for a company to go into a situation to be as armed with as much information as they have and the right contacts, the right frame of mind, we think that's very important. And we do help companies navigate those sort of challenges often. In the case of partners, we don't only help companies vet partners that have come to them, but a lot of our services are around helping to connect U.S. companies with partners overseas. We'll actually do the vetting and the qualifying for them. so that when they sit down and they have a list of companies who are interested in working with them, these aren't cold companies that they don't know. These are companies that have been vetted by the U.S. Embassy as companies that might be good potential partners.
It's important to note also that when the American Embassy arranges appointments, we go by the input from a particular company. So we leave it up to the customer and the client to say, we do business this way. These are the type of people, these are the type of companies that we want to meet with. Can you please tailor our appointment schedule so that it fits this purpose? Now, if it's an educational publisher, if that means colleges and universities, that's great. If it's a medical journal publisher and they need to talk to hospitals, we'll do that as well. It's all client-driven, and it's all based on the needs, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say that there will be instances where the commercial specialist will say, this market doesn't operate the way you think it does. It might be better if you tried this.
Well, I think that sounds like, again, very important information because, I've been lucky enough to do some traveling around the world myself, and the assumptions, particularly that Americans bring with them when they pack their clothes and everything else and go abroad, don't always prove out. People do business differently. Negotiations are handled quite differently. I was listening to a radio report just yesterday talking about that grand Japanese tradition, for example, of the way that one exchanges business cards and looks at them properly and so forth. All of these are things that are well worth knowing about, the little things like business cards and the more important things like what's in the contract. It's been a pleasure chatting with you both today. We're going to continue this conversation in just under a month's time. We'll talk specifically about what publishers should be aware of with regard to Frankfurt Book Fair and some other international events that you are working on. We'll have this program initially posted on next Monday, the September 15th. It will stay there archived with transcripts, links to the various programs that you've been discussing, and more information. So do look for all of that. And I want to thank again Dawn Bruno, who is the Global Publishing Team Leader and Senior International Trade Specialist with the U.S. Department of Commerce. Thank you for joining me today, Dawn.
Thank you so much. It was a great opportunity.
And I also want to thank for joining us from Providence, Keith Yatsuhashi, who's the director of the U.S. Department of Commerce Export Assistance Center there in Providence. Keith, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. I look forward to the next session.
Absolutely. So do I. And for all of us at Beyond the Book, thank you, the audience, for listening. And we look forward to having you join us for the second installment of this conversation, which will be posted on October 6th, just ahead of the Frankfurt Book Fair, coming up October 15th in Frankfurt, Germany. Bye-bye now.
Beyond the Book is an educational presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center, with conferences and seminars featuring leading authors and editors, publishing analysts, and information technology specialists. Beyond the Book is the premier source for knowledge on the latest business issues facing today's dynamic publishing industry, from initial research to final publication and beyond.